Hello and a very friendly welcome as you join me on Search for Truth, your Bible teaching programme with your teacher Brian Johnston. So many thanks for joining me. Today we're 7 weeks into this series about salvation, and if you remember, if you've been following the programme, Brian's looking into the scriptures to see if there's evidence that a Christian could profess Christ as Saviour but still be lost. Today Brian's first scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 15 and the first two verses. This leads us to our study question for today. The question is it possible to believe the gospel in vain? Now, if you've got your Bible handy, let's join Brian as he reads the first two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Thanks, John. The Apostle Paul wrote to the local Church of God at Corinth and said, "Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." That's 1 Corinthians 15 and the first two verses. Now, what are these verses telling us? At first sight, they seem to say that those who receive the gospel are only saved if they hold fast to what they've believed, and that there's the possibility that if people waver in their belief, they may lose their salvation. That conclusion would be deeply unsettling to many Christians who might feel insecure in their faith and uncertain about their status before God. But before jumping to such an apparently reasonable conclusion, we should consider the basic rule for understanding the Bible. And that rule is that Scripture itself should be the interpreter of Scripture. In other words, having established the overall teaching of the Bible on a particular point, we should attempt to interpret any difficult texts in the light of that. It's always safe to allow verses that can be plainly understood to guide us in our approach to understanding verses where the meaning at first reading seems more obscure or challenging. In this example, at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's a wealth of Bible verses that assure us that the transformation brought about in us when we exercise personal faith in Christ is both instantaneous and irreversible. For example, Jesus said in John 5:24, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." What this verse says can additionally be understood to be irreversible, because elsewhere in the Bible, for example, 1 Corinthians 12, we learn that the believer is incorporated into Christ, becoming a member of the universal church, where all who've ever believed in Christ are described metaphorically as being Christ's body. Doesn't that settle it? For how could we imagine Christ being dismembered? In addition to that, chapter 2 of Ephesians gives us the whole argument. It says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." From that reading, it's very clear that our salvation from the penalty of sin is a work of God, underwritten by his power and love. What then does the earlier quoted passage from the opening of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 mean? Let's remind ourselves of it again. The Apostle Paul wrote to the local church at Corinth and he said, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." The quote there comes from the English Standard Version, which uses the expression, "by which you are being saved." In other words, it uses a continuous sense of the verb. This is a better translation of the original than some other Bible translations, because the action being described here does strictly relate to a continuing action. Most newer Bible translations recognize this. But we've seen that eternal salvation is the instantaneous and irrevocable work of God. So how can we understand this continuous sense of being saved? Well, the first possible answer is something we've come across in an earlier study, and that is that the word salvation is used in different parts of the Bible in two different senses. Firstly, referring to our being declared not guilty, even declared righteous before God. That's justification. And secondly, it's used in relation to our being rescued from sin in our present life. That's sanctification. This first solution, then, that we might offer in trying to correctly understand 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is to suggest that these people were saved in the sense of being justified, but were not being saved in the sense of leading a sanctified life, and so were backsliders. Their profession was a true one, but they were no longer living up to it. Their belief was in vain, only in the sense of producing a life that had lately become empty of such good results as ought to accompany salvation. Much of the rest of chapter 15 relates to the resurrection of Christ and also of believers. This is an essential part of Christian faith, but some in Corinth would seem to have begun to doubt it, so Paul had to remind them to hold fast what they had believed. We ask again, how could they believe in vain? Another angle from which to come at this is to note that believing in vain means believing frivolously or casually. Anyone who believed in this way may not have really understood the full significance of their profession, meaning that it wasn't a real saving faith at all. Paul's words would make his hearers examine themselves to test the genuineness of their faith. In other words, this second solution is to offer the explanation that these people never had a real saving faith that had ever justified them in the first place. So far, where we've got to is this. Either these people being addressed by Paul were true believers who'd ceased to do the things that pleased the Lord, or perhaps they'd never ever made a true profession of faith. It was only an outward show, a going along with the crowd. Anyone in that category might well be expected to question the fundamental reality of the Christian teaching of resurrection. But may I offer a third possible solution? It's one I say that I'm more inclined to accept. As we said, we must compare scripture with scripture, or one verse with another. Let's explore if reading these early verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the context of the verses that follow shortly after them is a special case of this. I suggest to you that it's instructive to read verses 12 to 14 as an expansion on verse 2. Again, using the English Standard Version, here are verses 1 and 2 again. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Could it be that what is there stated with great economy is later expanded upon? Let's look down the chapter to verse 11. It says, whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Here, once again, we end up with the verdict that their faith was futile. But we now have more information. I suggest, therefore, that for many among them, Paul or others had preached Jesus and the resurrection. And so they'd arrived at an effective faith in the true gospel and as a result of that also had an enduring salvation. However, others had later come among them at Corinth, people whose system of belief maintained that there was no human resurrection. Paul effectively points out that preaching like this is effectively preaching and believing in a false gospel, one in which Christ himself was not raised, in which case belief in such a different, false gospel was indeed and is still a futile thing, for a dead Christ cannot save a sinner from his or her sins. So we've presented three ways of reading this difficult text. None of them contradicts other plain Bible verses that teach us authoritatively that no one who truly professes Christ as Saviour can ever lose that salvation, not even if they later backslide. But equally it's true, and witness to in other places in the Bible, that someone who has falsely professed Christ will not be saved. They remain eternally lost. It's not that they lose salvation, for they were never at any time truly saved. Lastly, there's the option, shown to be realistic from Galatians chapter 1, that a person can sincerely believe in something that's not true, not the genuine gospel, but a travesty of the truth. And faith, of course, in the wrong thing saves no one.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, cleansed by his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long.
I hope, as usual, you've enjoyed today's study and found it helpful. If you have any questions, do write in and Brian will be pleased to help. And remember, there's the transcript book of all the talks in this series, and you can obtain a copy by downloading it at churchesofgod.info/media. Instead of that, you could write to us and ask for a hard copy book be posted to you. Just ask for the book for this series about salvation, and don't forget to include your postal address so we know where to send it. You can use email or the post, and firstly, here's our postal address. Search for Truth, Hayes Press, The Barn, Flaxlands, Royal Wootton Bassett, Swindon, SN4 8DY, UK. Our email address is sft@churchesofgod.info. Next week, Brian's talk focuses on our eternal security in Christ. It's called Once Saved, Always Saved. I hope you'll join me. But for now, I must say goodbye, but I'll leave you with very best wishes from our Bible teacher Brian, producer David, our singers, and me, John. So see you again soon, and in the meantime, take care, and we wish you God's richest blessings.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Saviour am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song.